And that's the most natural thing to do with the Bible, because it's a book. And what else do you do with a book besides read it? Well, the Bible, it's a sort of a book you do other things. You listen to it because it's so fascinating and so thrilling and it's enduring forever and it never gets old. And I suppose you could almost say millions, at least hundreds of thousands of sermons have been preached about this book. And so we want to hear it. We want to hear it and keep on hearing it. And I believe we're going to spend all of millennium and all of eternity just listening to the Lord tell us about His wonderful book. And He's going to unfold and He's going to unknot a lot of the naughty things that are in this book. We're going to find out what is the unpardonable sin. Isn't it going to be wonderful? And He's going to explain to us firsthand what He means by Hebrews 6, that if you've fallen away, it's impossible to be restored again. Isn't that going to be great? We're going to listen to all that. And we're going to find out whether we really were saved for eternity or we could have been lost. Now, that is, if you were saved for eternity, you'll get to listen to it. And if not, why, I'll try and get a word to you. And we'll find out whether scripture memory was really scriptural or not, and all the rest. And the Lord's going to spend all of eternity, I believe, as we sit around the throne singing praises unto the Lamb, making known unto us this book. I believe this is going to be the textbook for eternity. Because the Word says that it endures and abides forever. And so when Jesus comes, that doesn't mean the end of the Bible. I believe that it's just, then we're just going to begin to enjoy what's in this book. But it's our privilege now we're here upon earth, as we see through a glass darkly, as we know in part, just to read. It's a book. To a lot of you, it's just a great big black book. It's 66 books. What was there? 27 different authors? All different kinds of background. Some of them were scholarly, some of them just, well, what right did they have to write a book? Some of them, Daniel, how do you understand that, especially the last part of it? Revelation. Some of them, like the Song of Solomon. Well, what's the purpose? How does that fit into the overall picture of Theopneustia? How do you like that? Man, I had to get up and gargle twice extra this morning to get that one out. That means God breathed. That means inspired of the Lord. Well, here it is. It's a wonderful book. And one of the first things that every Christian should do is to begin to read the Bible. Maybe I'm a heretic, but I believe that a person should almost start reading it before they start memorizing it. I think that, because especially if they don't have any background, they should just get into a program of just reading it. Because anybody can read, if they can read, unless they're in the Marines or something. But then there's a good place to learn to read. We all have mental blocks, a lot of us, when it comes to memorizing or studying it, but just to read it, that's natural. Because that's what you do with any book, supposedly. I'm not going to ask you, but have you ever read the Bible through? From kiver to kiver? Well, it's a good book. From generation to revolution, it's right there, you know. I have in the front of my Bible, I think I do. As I read it, I get information, I get inspiration, I get illumination, and I get an imitation. It's the four things that just reading the Bible does for my life. It gives me information, because this is God's book on what He wants us to know. And everything God wants us to know, He's got in His book. Anything about heaven, if it isn't in the book, He didn't want us to know it. And make sure that you don't take from it or add to it. And a lot of religious people today have added to the Word of God, haven't they? Extra books and special visions. But you read the 22nd chapter of Revelation and see what God has to say concerning that. Because what He has, this is God's complete revelation. And all that we need to know is in here. It's given for inspiration, to thrill our hearts. Because man didn't write this, God wrote it. And holy men of old wrote as they were directed by the Holy Spirit. It's given for illumination. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things. John 7:17. If any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or I speak of myself. Search the scriptures daily, for they are they that testify of me. And imitation, it just causes you to, well, it giveth light and understanding to the simple. Makes wise the simple. Men who have read the book are men who live the book and know the book. I find that many of our gang is very, very weak. Are very, very weak. Yeah, are very, very weak in the Old Testament. Mainly because they just have never read a great deal of the Old Testament. They're sharp, and I put myself in it, in certain areas where we want to be sharp and where we spend a lot of time. But all of Scripture is profitable for me. And all of Scripture was given that I might be a man of God thoroughly furnished. I need to know Leviticus, which is the Hebrew of the Old Testament. What Hebrews is to me in the day of grace, Leviticus was for the Jew. Joshua of the Old Testament, the book of Joshua, is the book of Ephesians. And the more I get to know the old, the more I begin to love the new. And as someone has said, you can open the Bible any place and begin to read and you see the bloodline. I don't know what... I have a verse that I like to think of in terms of the theme of the Bible. I don't know... God doesn't say it's the theme of the Bible, but I like to think of it. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And that just seems to be the story from the very beginning to the very end. How God has justified us freely by His grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Open the Bible any place and you should be able to see a portrait of Jesus Christ. The Bible was written with one express purpose, to reveal unto us God's will for us, and God's will for us is that we might know Him. And so wherever I open the Bible, I want to see my Lord. And so basically reading the Bible is not just to get a lot of information. It isn't basically just to get all keyed up. But basically I read the Bible that I might come to know Him, whom to know is life eternal. Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter. God is putting down here sort of a God's standard for a king. If you children of Israel are ever going to have a king, this is one of the duties of the king. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 17, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests of the Levites. In other words, the Levites have the original, and every king that sits upon the throne is to take that and make a copy for himself. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may... Now, what does reading do? What is this reading every day going to do for the king? That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, that he may keep all the words of this law. Verse 20, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left. And then the fifth thing, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. A fivefold result for this king if he'll read the word of the law all the days of his life. And you can appropriate that and bring it right down to where you live. That's what reading the word does. I want to say, for getting started, as I was thinking through on this last night, that there are two organizations that I take my hat off to because they have stuck by their guns on the reading of God's Word. One is the Scripture Reading Union, which is very popular in Europe, in the British Isles, doing a wonderful piece of work of getting the Word of God out to the people of Europe. Along with it, they have little Bible study lessons and little helps on how to read it. In fact, was it 2 years ago, or year? I guess it's 2 years ago when Doss is over in England. He spent a great deal of time with the leaders of the Scripture Reading Union with the possibility of adapting a lot of their material and their ideas for us in this country. For they have some fabulous ideas and so forth on how to read the Word of God and little mechanics to help us read the Word of God. And then the other one is an American organization called the American Bible Society. And if you're not on their mailing list, it'd be good to get a hold of it. I'm not sure of the address. It's in New York City. But they not only put out, and by the way, they're putting out some new tracts that are just bell ringers, especially for young people and boys and girls. They're, you know how popular these little picture cards are for kids? Boy, my boy's got a pocket full of these sports cards, you know, and they go to school and they trade them. This isn't a gambling type of a deal, but they just, you know, I want Teddy Williams. Okay, well, I'll give you Hank Sarr. Well, that's a rotten charity, isn't it? See, Roberts, I don't want Roberts. You know, my kids, if a pitcher's not doing any good, they want to get rid of him. They want him in his pack, you see. And everybody wants Cincinnati Red players now and so forth. Well, the American Bible Society has come out with these same kind of cards and beautiful color deal on famous Christian athletes and personalities. And then on the back, there's a little testimony. Have you seen them? How many of you have seen them? Oh, you want to get some of these. They're real great for children and young people. And we're using them with our servicemen now in Long Beach. And boy, I'll tell you, they just pick those right up and... they're the kind of thing that isn't juvenile. I don't know if they have any for women. I don't know if there are any Christian... Are there any Christian women athletes? Or I guess they all stay home and cook. But anyway, for fellows anyway, they're real good. But the American Bible Society doesn't only put out wonderful tracts and things like that, but they're consistently and everlastingly out of getting people to read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. And here in Deuteronomy 17 is one of the reasons. Well, why read the Bible? Well, just to get a bird's eye view, what's it all about? You sort of get a perspective of what God is trying to teach. It's one thing for me to quote to you Romans 3:24, that that's the theme of the Bible, being justified freely by His grace, the redemption is in Christ Jesus, but when you read it yourself, you get a panoramic view of Scripture. Henrietta Mears has written a Sunday school series for adults. And it's good, just right into Gospel Press, Gospelite Press, and buy it. If you want to study the Bible sometime, it's a wonderful series. You don't have to have it for Sunday school. Or go down to your local Bible bookstore and get it. Panoramic view of Scripture. And it just takes you a book a week through the Bible. Last year, with our crew, we took Dr. McGee's book on Through the Bible in a Year. And every Wednesday night, we took up a different book of the Bible. Just a panoramic view of it. The highlights, the key thought, the key verse, the key personalities. A short, simple outline. Just so we can get this. And that's what reading of it does, and then just some choice selected readings from the book that you can assimilate in 7 days. A second reason why we should read the Word is it just reopens and gives us an opportunity to review old and forgotten material. As you read through the Bible, all of a sudden you begin to see Daniel and the story of the lion's den, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and in its setting, and it just thrills your heart all over again. You've heard the story of Joseph, and as you read through Genesis, then Joseph begins to fit into place, and it just, the review of something that you've heard, maybe from childhood, just that does so much to your old heart. And maybe you didn't intend as you begin to read, but as you're reading, all of a sudden God brings you to a verse that you'd heard and it clicks, and well, that's where it's found. A third great blessing from just reading the Word of God, that it is a basis for digging into this gold mine for Bible study. Now, we're going to talk about Bible study tomorrow morning. But reading is sort of the going across the surface with all your, you know, these instruments to find out whether there's something worth digging for. Reading is sort of just the spading of the ground, the surveying, looking at the map and saying, boy, here's a place worth stopping. And you put your stakes down there. You may go on, but then you come back someday and begin to really dig. And of course, that's where a notebook comes in handy, just putting down, here's something I'd like to study about. Okay. Well, every time I read through the book of Proverbs, I come up with some new angle that I'd like to study about. And there's about, oh, at least 6 or 8 wonderful Bible studies in the book of Proverbs, especially for us young fellows, because it was written to young fellows. But you gals will get a real blessing from it too. And every time you read through some of these books, you want to put down an old anchor and say, Lord, help me come back someday and begin to see what you've got right there in that spot. A fourth thing that reading the Bible does, it helps to correlate the many different areas of your Christian life. You're memorizing Scripture. You're trying to study the Bible. You're listening to sermons. You're going to Bible classes. You're attending different groups where the Bible is the basis of consideration. As you read, it ties all these things in together and you begin to see the pattern. Your scripture memory begins to take on life. Your Bible study begins to become valid and just full of vitality. Why? Well, you're reading through, well, let's say you're reading through the Bible. And maybe the next week you're doing a Bible study. It's very simple. Maybe it's just the IBS or the Christian Character Course or something like that. And then your mind goes back to that portion of Genesis about Jacob, the old deceiver, the rascal. And yet God blessed him. And as you're studying this portion of Scripture, the Holy Spirit correlates that which you were reading and you can bring it right in here. Same thing with your Scripture memory. You've memorized, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And as you're reading along through the Bible, here you see a fellow coming up against a tremendous temptation. And he yields. And you almost want to say to him, David! Why didn't you ever memorize 10:13? Man, it would have helped you. I mean, do you ever enter into your reading like that? Just kind of cut these boys in on the scoop. Man, Solomon, if you'd memorized Scripture, you would have been out of a lot of trouble. If you had it written on the table of your heart, huh? Well, maybe you don't have that consecrated, vivid imagination I was talking about, but I like to talk to these fellows and find out what they. One thing about it, they don't have too much of a chance to talk back, you know. And you usually get your point across. And then, I like to read because John 15:3 proves such a blessing. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's just like getting up in the morning and washing your face and hands off. It just sort of revives you and wakes you up and cleanses you for a new day. And that's what this is. This is a spiritual bar of soap. It just kind of washes you and wakes you up and challenges you and just makes you want to be clean for the day. Elderly people love to spend their time in the Psalms. Why? Because it's the songs of blessing and encouragement and praise and adoration and concentration upon the Lord. Just for what the Word can do in your own life, it's a blessing to be in it. Acts 20:32. And now, navigators, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are the set apart ones. And I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, just to read it, because it'll build you up, it'll strengthen you. I know businessmen that are not even born again men that just read the Bible every day, just because of the high ethical standard and the wisdom and the inspiration and the challenge. I met a doctor last Friday morning. He specializes in just one part of the anatomy, the liver. He's a liver specialist, and he just flies all over the country, or people fly out to see him, and he's just a specialist on livers. That's quite a project in life, isn't it? But he must really be in the chips by the size of the car he was driving, man, long enough to have two or three operating rooms in it, and black enough to convince me it was a failure when he operated. But this doctor is a Jewish man. He doesn't know Christ as his Messiah. But he told me last Friday morning, after the breakfast we had, that he said that every morning when I go to work, he said, I take my Old Testament, and he said, I just read a portion of it. And he said, it's just a real... tremendous surge into my own life, what God has spoken by my forefathers. Well, I believe that, as Dick Halverson has told me, that the man is very close to the kingdom. It's just his old pride that's keeping him from acknowledging that Jesus Christ, the despised one, is his Messiah. He has illusions of grandeur. And he wants Christ to be a king like he would want him to be, and not the one who was crucified. Well, that's the reading of the Word, huh? It brings that conviction. And everything that 2 Timothy 3:16 says about the Word, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that's what the reading of the Word does. Well, how do you read the Word? You need some sort of a system, some sort of a method that will keep the reading vital and fresh and just make you want to do it. Well, first of all, you have to decide, do I want to systematically read the Bible? And I think it's good to be systematic about it. In other words, you don't have to start with Genesis, it would help, but start with the New Testament. I'm not talking about studying now. I'm not talking about just meditating on the Word. I'm talking about reading it to find out what does the Bible say. And so begin at the beginning, either the beginning of the Bible, and by the way, it'd be good for you to read the introductory pages to the Bible. Last summer, I believe, I asked one of the conferences how many of them had ever read the dedicatorial comments of the King James.
And I think out of the conference, we had about 70 or 80 here. I think there were about one or two or three hands that were raised. Boy, it's tremendous. These opening pages. Find out what it's all about. Find out when it says how to pronounce all this business. I guess I better read that. And mine is Morocco, leather lined, nylon sewed, stitched, Christian Science Bible. You know, these are the NAB Bibles, and if you don't have one of these, it's going to be pretty hard for you to succeed. But God may give grace. A few years ago we tried an experiment. We got some of these from Oxford Press. They were put out by the Christian Science Publishing House to be sort of a companion volume to Mayor Baker Eddy's comments about the Bible, which was this size. And so they had the plates, and they didn't want to make new plates, and so they just made the volume a little bit bigger, and that gives you the margins around here. And then I don't know where all this business of these blank pages in the middle came from, but they had a lot of blank pages, or some of the later ones have them in the back, blank pages. And so, of course, a few got a hold of these with the wide margins and the blank pages, and so it became a NAB Bible. So everybody had to have a black or blue Oxford Navigator Bible, you see. Almost became a fetish, and this was it, brother. You couldn't memorize your second thousand until you had this with a ladder on it, and that was it. Well, I don't care what sort of a Bible you have if the context is there, but begin someplace. Begin in the New Testament, begin a book, and then read it through. Just for the sake of reading it. And if you'll ask the Lord in prayer, Lord, help me as I read. May the Holy Spirit illuminate my eyes and my middle eye. Then this thing will take on life. So many of us, we've been around the Bible so long, I think we've almost lost the touch of its freshness and its vitality and just its wonderful story, huh? It's become almost familiar to us. I have five ways in which you might read the Bible. This could apply for Bible study, but I like to think of it in terms just for reading the Bible. First of all, read it as an explorer to find out what does it say. This is good for young babes in Christ, those who are just getting going. Don't take too long. I mean, you don't want to stop and start digging, but just read it through. Proverbs 2:4, if thou seekest her as silver, speaking of wisdom, and searchest her for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Just read it to find out what does it say. And put it down in black and white. You'll understand what it means after you find out what it says. And what it means is based upon what it says. We're so anxious to find out what the meaning is that we don't take time to find out what it says, huh? And the more you know what it says, then it just seems to open up. That's what the psalmist was saying. Open mine eyes. The last chapter of the book of Luke, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And you and I do not have the capacity nor even the potential of doing that ourselves. That is a gift of God. The Holy Spirit, who is the author, opens the understanding that we can understand it. As we just begin to read it, Lord, what does it say? The second thing, read it with a purpose. Your purpose could be varied, depend upon you. But have an objective as you read it. Maybe as you read the Gospels, for instance, the book of Matthew. The four Gospels are divided up to show us four pictures of Christ. Of course, Christ is the
part of the four Gospels. But in Matthew, it shows us Christ as King. Mark, Christ as servant. Luke, Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. John, Jesus Christ as the Son of God.
Matthew was written to the Jew. Matthew is the one book that you can use in the New Testament with the Jew. And that's one reason why there are so many Old Testament quotations in Matthew. Because it's trying to show us that Jesus is the Messiah. Behold your King. And Matthew just saturated with the Old Testament. And of course it starts off with the genealogy of a king. Because it was written to show us that he was the high priestly one. Mark doesn't start off with the genealogy. Who cares about where a servant came from? All a servant is required to do is to work. And so Luke, stop. Mark is the book of action. Immediately. Do. It's the story of the Lord just living with others. And as we mentioned, Mark 10:45 is just the keynote of Mark. Ministering unto the lowly one. Luke, showing us Jesus Christ as the Son of Man. The genealogy as of a man, not as the king. And to show us that he was God-man. And of course, John, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, John is a hard book to either study or to read, although it is the most accepted one, and we start him off there. And we'll continue to make it the favorite. But there are so many typologies, you know? I am the water of life. I am the resurrection and life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the five signs that Jesus gives that he is the Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. Whereas Luke tries to show us his God-man relationship, John shows us his man-godly relationship, that he was God, even though he was in the flesh. Well, now, when you begin to read with this in mind and read Matthew to see Jesus as King, why, man, it just seems like every chapter is just full of it. Mark, that's all you see, he's a servant. Acts has been called the fifth gospel because it's the life of Christ, only Jesus is gone and it's now in the life of men. Jesus is still alive, but he's living his life through men. He's putting into demonstration all of this through men. And it's great to read the book of Acts. All for different purposes. One, how did they witness in the first century? What did they witness about? They're witnesses, if you read the book of Acts, of one great big thing. Jesus and the resurrection. Over and over and over again in the book of Acts, that expression is used. They were witnesses of Jesus and the resurrection. Purposeful reading. Now, not discarding everything else, but trying to see. Another way to read the Bible is just to read the lives of some of the men in the Bible. For instance, just read the life of David and find out where it starts and start right with his life. And read all that you can about the life of David. Go back into Genesis and read the life of Joseph. Take Moses and begin with Exodus and just read about Moses. And you'll find that you're reading, you're not studying now, you're just reading. Okay? The character study.
will probably evolve out of this, but just reading about a man. To me, one of the most wonderful types of books that are written are biographies or autobiographies. I just gave Rod a book that I finished. It's one of the bestsellers today, called Soldier. It's the life of one of our famous generals. Well, I just love to read a biography like that, because I can see in his life qualities that made him the general that he was. If it's a real biography and an honest biography, you see weaknesses. So many biographies, you know, almost put a halo around the guy's head, you know, and he couldn't have done no wrong. Well, that's a good sentence. Sorry, Pat. But he still couldn't have. Especially if it's true of so many of our Christian leaders. They're made of the same stuff we are. And if you read the life of D.L. Moody, make sure you get a hold of the real biography, the one that was written by his son. There's about 15 jillion, I guess, biographies of Moody. But the one that his son wrote, which is the authentic biography, it's quite a large book. And it shows you a lot of weaknesses in D.L. Moody. After all, he was a man. You don't expect him to be a saint, I mean, without sin. I mean, for instance, Moody was very impatient. He got impatient with other people. And another thing about Moody, telling these things, was the fact that he was so energetic and he was so driving that he'd begin things before he had finished other things. And then he'd leave men in charge of these things, and he'd be off doing something else, and if this man couldn't carry the ball like Moody carried it, why, he'd lower the boom on him. Well, I like to read biographies like that, you know. And that's the reason I like the Bible. If a man had written this book, he wouldn't have written a lot of things in here. Because it shows us not only the wonderful things about the man, but it shows us the human side. And gives us courage. Another wonderful way to read your Bible is with a certain project in mind. Now, a little different than a purposeful reading. When I think of a project, sometimes project reading comes out of Bible study. For instance, taking the word believe. And as you're reading through, for instance, the book of John, just noting the word believe. Or maybe as you were studying a little bit about some of the fruit of the Spirit, you notice that one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy, and you notice a couple references in Philippians. Well, then just read the book of Philippians and pick out all the words about joy. And by the way, if you want one big two-fisted wonderful Bible study, or word study, take the word joy or rejoice in Philippians. Over and over again, under all different kinds of situations. A project type of Bible reading. Now, we're not talking about studying where you stop and begin to dig, but you just move along and catch the panoramic pattern, the pulse speed of the book. Study the theme of patience in Job. And just read it through. I timed myself on a couple books yesterday just to see how long it would take. Just little books, for instance, like 1 Timothy and 1 John and Titus. Well, just by reading them out loud at a very normal, almost a conversational tone, you can read these books from anywhere from 10 minutes. Well, the longest one took me 22 minutes. That's not very long, is it? And yet, in that 10 to 22 minutes, why, you can just pick out all sorts of wonderful truths. And if you just have a little, by the way, this is a real help in Bible reading. Get a pen. This happens to be just an Esther book. You can get all kinds of points for them. And then we have engrossing ink. You cannot buy it in the average bookstore
because it's a specialized kind of ink. It's almost become a navigator ink, I guess, like these Bibles. But the thing we like about engrossing ink, it has the same qualities of India ink in that it lays on top of India paper but will not soak into India paper. But the better, the best quality of it is that it doesn't dry in your fountain pen like India ink. And it's got some kind of an ingredient that keeps it loose and you know, keep flowing. And you can just write in your Bible all over with system, of course, and it just lays right on the top and it doesn't blot through. And so as you're reading, why, just have your pen there and you can just underline certain words or thoughts as they come. For instance, in the book of Proverbs, I did a study on the tongue. And so I just read through the book of Proverbs. I wasn't going to stop, and every time I came to a verse that had to do with the tongue, why, I put that there. See? Lips. And I know now when I go there, I'm looking for a verse, why, there is that. Now, for the for instruction or taking counsel, there's no special follow-through, but I just made a little star right there. And, there's all sorts of little gimmicks that you can work out. But as you go through, you can just make those little marks there, and it signifies a certain theme. Okay, just some general hints on reading. Have a good Bible. Invest in a good Bible. It should have clear print. Now make sure it's large enough. There's no special pride having a little teeny Bible that's real easy to carry, but it's going to ruin your eyes. And try and get a Bible by one of our standard publishing houses where you know that you can buy copies that will have the same plates for years to come. Because you get attached to a certain type of a Bible. For instance, Scofield Bible. No matter what kind of Scofield Bible you have, they're all the same plates. You see? They just make them smaller or larger. Same thing with Oxford. Well, they do have different plates in Oxford. I'll take that back. But if you get a certain type of a Bible in Oxford, well, then the Bible may be small, may be large, but the plate is still the same. So your verses are always right there. See? That's a big help, because when you're trying to think of Psalm 1:3, well, you can see it right there in your Bible, see? It helps you to familiarize yourself. There's no sin in that. There's nothing wrong in being able to... there's a lot of verses that you're not going to memorize. There's no need to memorize them, but you want to know where they are. And boy, it's a big help to have a Bible that's easy to find and you can put your finger right on it. The mental picture is a big thing in getting to know your Bible, familiarize yourself. And I just like to get a young convert just to learn to handle the Bible. This is a precious book. And be careful of the binding. That's one reason why we try and get them to bend in the middle, you see, and keep that old binding still. And learn to handle it so that it bends in the middle. That's why a poor Bible won't do that. But just get it to break in the middle, rather down here. Your binding will last for many years. And of course, if you want a ladder on the Bible, why, it's good. You don't have to have it, but it's a big help in just speeding up the old process of where to find portions of Scripture to start reading. Oftentimes, I won't say oftentimes, but many times, I have just taken my Bible like that and said, "The Lord, I just want to read something that will be a blessing." I got on the airplane here a couple weeks ago, and I have my Bible just like this. I said, "Lord, I just want to read for a while here. What should I turn to?" And I just looked at all those numbers. I-J-L-E-D-H-L. What haven't I read for a long time? So I just said, "Well, let's see. I'll get over here to G." So I just started reading in Galatians. Now, the letter doesn't have to help you do that. But it's just good to get a Bible that you love. And carry it like you love it. And have an appreciation for it. I don't mean a sentimental, wishy-washy type of a thing, but have reverence for this book. It's the Holy Bible, huh? It is Holy Scripture.
Don't be afraid to mark it if you're not careless. I see fellows get these $18, $24 Bibles and then with a pencil, you know, just make all sorts of marks in it and just ruin a Bible. Get a hold of somebody. That's where a buddy, a Christian friend, a man really can help you on how to mark your Bible. Oh, it can be precious. It can mean so much. For a long time, I memorized scripture. Say I was going to memorize the 16th verse. Well, then when I would put it on a card, I would do that to the verse, to the numeral. And that meant I'd put the verse on card. But I didn't ever consider I had a verse memorized until I'd used it in some way. Either in Bible study or in ministry or in somebody else. Or I quoted it, so I had confidence. I had acquired it. And as soon as I had used it in some way, then I would just shade it in with red. And that meant that as I went through, I knew that that verse there had been not only memorized, but had been acquired. I had used it. Some people just make a little mark right by the side of the verse, and all those little dots mean that those are the verses they have memorized. But all those little markings identify the Bible as your very own as you read through it. As Doss likes to sometimes do, is to take a Bible and give it the airplane test. Just hold it by the covers and do like that and let all the debris fall out. George Momay is old enough to be my father, but he's sort of a son of the Lord. And I just love to get a hold of his Bible and give it the airplane test. He has everything in there. I have never seen such a horrible Bible. He has two or three pencils stuck in here, you know, and all the notes that he's ever taken, and tracts, and poems, and suggested notes, and everything, you know. And if you take it and dump it upside down, why, it just leaves the Bible practically empty. But take good care of it. All that just ruins the cover, and it's hard on a Bible. Now, it's up to you. It's your Bible. You do what you want with it. But it helps in taking good care of it. And then in reading the Bible, make sure you have the right time of day for doing it. Read it when your mind is clear. You're able to concentrate. If you have a hard time staying awake, why, read as you walk. Oftentimes I walk up Indiana and get up there. We have a sort of a field back in there. And you just find some place where you're not going to have to walk all the time. And the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. We have a closet that's about as long as this platform here. And with four children, why, sometimes it's noisy out there. I'll read in my closet. I like to read out loud. It does a lot of things. I hear my own voice. And so many Christian young people today don't know how to read out loud. You get up in front of a group and when you hear yourself begin to talk, it scares you, huh? You've never learned to pronounce. You've never learned to be at ease in reading because you don't do it. And it helps you to concentrate. Your ear gets in on the deal, see? Reading is more than just the eyeball. See? It's the earlobe and all the rest. So, and the earlobe, or the eyeball has no right to say to the earlobe, I have no need of thee in Bible reading. see? I mean, get the whole deal into the act. Throw yourself into it. Enjoy it. Reading out loud is a real good deal. Well, it's time to quit. A couple other things. Slip up a word of prayer before you begin reading. Ask Him to give you what He wants you to get. Be consistent. Someone has said the way to establish a habit is to never let the exception occur. Just to be everlastingly at it. Job 23:12, I esteem thy words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Well, if that be true, then you're going to make sure that you're in the Word even more than you get your three squares a day. And then, old heart attitude. I guess Jeremiah, was it 15:16, is a good verse here. Just the old heart on this matter of reading the Word, just coming out of the book. As so many people have said, I heard Dr. Ironside say it when he was asked how many times he'd read the Bible. He'd have read it some 70 times. Yet he said, it isn't so much how many times I have been through the Bible, but how many times the Bible has been through me. And that's sure true, that it isn't just to be able to say, well, I've read through the Bible 12 times, if it hasn't taken effect in your life. Let me just read you one sentence, and then we'll go to our discussion groups. I was back in Boston last year and went over to visit the Andover Newton Theological Seminary. It's outside of Boston, and they're liberal in theology. And yet I found there a little guide entitled...